When Robert mentioned this to me, it was a surprise that you were asking an elder to come to speak at a lectureship. I'm used to preachers doing this. But it is a joy to be here, and I do appreciate that you give us the opportunity to come here and share with you our thoughts on sharing the gospel with our missionaries. I bring you greeting from the Forest Park congregation. You know, the Forest Park congregation has been a mission congregation for, wow, what, Robert? Between 35 and 40 years. Robert's been out there over 35 years, actually, about 37 years, Robert? 36 years. And Forest Park has been a part of that for a long time, even before that. And I bring you greetings from that congregation, and especially the elders. And we have Brother John Maynor, Brother Eddie Bettis, Brother Steve Weiss, and myself, who are elders right now at the Forest Park congregation. And we'll talk a little bit about those gentlemen, at least Steve, in a little bit. But I want you to know that we are grateful that you've invited us here to just to kind of talk to you from an elder's point of view. As I speak on sharing together and reaching the lost from an overseeing elder's perspective, I'll tell you what a blessing it is for the congregation and also to the elders to be in a church that oversee missionaries. Right now, there are four missionaries overseen by Forest Park. Of course, you know Robert. You support him and you support Joey Treat as well. We have now, Robert, you know, is involved with the PIBC, Pacific Island Bible College, and he oversees that. He's the director of that. He has Brother Stacy Ferguson, also a missionary, that works right along with him with that. Now, both of these gentlemen not only go over and teach lessons with that college and invite other members, preachers, to come out and preach in the college as well, but they make different trips, various trips, into the South Pacific to continuously plant congregations and edify the congregations that have already been planted and still along those lines save souls. And I don't want to steal any of Robert's thunder in saying all of that, but Brother Randy English, who has also been out there getting pretty close to 25 years, he lives in Samoa, American Samoa, and he covers that region in that area in the Solomon Islands, Western Samoa. Well, it's no longer called Western Samoa, but Samoa. And Randy, one of his newest projects is developing radio stations in that area that will reach the entire Pacific rim of the world, if you will. And when I say that, he's going to set it up in the United States, and it's going to reach all the way into China. So that radio station that this brother is doing, and it's a great work because it's all involved with mission work that we are supporting out there. And of course, you know Joey. Joey's been out there, I guess, about 4 years now, and Joey's doing a wonderful work for us. Joey lives in Saipan, and he is doing work in not only Saipan, but in Chuuk and in Palau. If you haven't seen his most recent newsletter, you will be getting it soon, and I'm sure a report if you haven't gotten that. I think the elders mentioned today that he hasn't been here to report yet since he's been back in the States. But you'll see what a beautiful building that he headed up and building in a very short period of time, because every 2 years, we have the missionaries come back to the States so that we can meet with them. We, the elders and missionary, have a retreat a week long that we listen to them. They report to us on the things that they've accomplished in the past 2 years and also give us plans for the coming 2 years, as well as renew their commitment for being a missionary in the field with us. So that is good. They're doing a wonderful work. Matthew 28:19-20 tells us to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of age. Now, Mark tells us the same thing in Mark 16:15. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As you know, that passage, in that passage, Christ is talking to all of us. He's talking to all of us. Not just missionaries, not just to the apostles, but all of us. Our missionaries go into foreign lands and take the gospel to the lost and those who haven't had an opportunity to hear the gospel. Back here in the homeland, that's what I call it, back here in the homeland where we worship, local congregations can do the same thing to local communities by sharing the gospel with individuals they come in contact with. We encourage everybody to be missionaries. Everybody to be missionaries. Now, how do we do that? Every one of us have friends. We have friends, or we know somebody who is probably searching for the gospel or searching for a church home. We can share the gospel. We can share the truth with them. In Acts 8 and 4, if you remember, when the Christians were persecuted, and they were separated and run out of their homes. They were being drug out of their homes and jailed. And then they ended up running them out of Jerusalem. They ended up in the regions of Judea and Samaria. Well, you know what the intention was to kind of disband the Christians, right? Stop, have them stop preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But do you think that stopped them? That didn't stop them at all. That didn't stop them at all. Acts 8, 4 said, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And as elders, we try and prepare those of our members who desire to have an opportunity to learn to conduct one-on-one Bible study, teach others through Bible classes, and or participate in providing monetary support to our missionaries. We help them to do that. That way they have a part in spreading the gospel. Not everyone have the talent to be a teacher. Not everyone have the talent to be a missionary or a preacher. But everyone should have the opportunity to be able to further the gospel of Christ, to broaden God's kingdom. And there are many ways to do that, and a few of them I've just mentioned. This way, we're helping everyone who desires to have a chance to participate in sharing the gospel. We oversee missionaries because it brings many blessings to our congregation. Now, you know the missionaries that you help support here at this congregation, and we are certainly grateful for that. We at Forest Park Congregation are grateful to you for supporting Brother Robert and Brother Joey. That is a great blessing. And we, from the Forest Park Congregation, extend our sincere gratitude for that. But it gives each of us an opportunity, this congregation, because it's always good to be mission-minded. We grow spiritually if we're mission-minded because our mind is set on saving the lost. It gives each of us an opportunity to share in this work of saving the lost and teaching the gospel to those who haven't had a chance to hear it. Romans 10, verse 15 says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? Our members get to see the many baptisms taking place out on the mission field. No, they don't all get to go. But just like your members here, missionaries come back and give reports, and in those reports, they have pictures, and they have stories, and they are very touching stories. That is inspiring when those reports are given to us by the missionaries. Seeing this great work take place and having a part in it through our missionaries and through encouraging our missionaries, we grow in our own spirituality. So we want to continue to encourage our missionaries to do that. We do that through prayer, first and foremost. Then we send them cards. We send them packages. We do everything we can to continue to encourage our missionaries to continue in the work as long as they possibly can. And of course, monetary support as well. Now, all of this helps the members to grow individually and help them to have a greater desire to do more for the Lord. As some of you might know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had the 38th Annual World Mission Forum at Forest Park. 38th Annual World Mission Forum, one of the best we've had, and this is a forum that we bring missionaries from all over that we can fit into the schedule for normally a short period of time so that they can report on their work, not necessarily always just in the South Pacific where our missionaries work, but in China, Malawi, that is in Africa, in the Philippines, and most recently, someone you may know, Brother Josh Blackmer, reported on our World Mission Forum. Now, Josh, as you know, is on his way along with Troy to Paraguay. So, and that is good. We're looking forward to that work and looking forward to him coming back along with Troy to report at our World Mission Forum. Let us know how that work is going. To listen to the reports and stories these men tell are very inspiring and encouraging to our members. Very inspiring. And not just to us, but also to local visiting congregations. Get a lot of visitors during this time. Additionally, every other year we send a missionary campaign group to the Pacific Islands to work with our missionaries to help to either develop new congregations or to edify those that are out there. You know, oftentimes our missionary, being one man or one family, they plant the congregation, then they move on and they plant additional congregation, but then they go back into that area, and sometimes maybe the congregation hasn't grown like it should. So Brother Robert will say, okay, we want, either Brother Robert or Brother Joey would say, we need a campaign to come into this area. And what we do, we go out there and we will campaign the area by knocking doors, or we would do it using what we call our Pacific Island Bible Study, where normally what happens is the missionary on the field will put ads in the local newspaper, or people that he come in contact with, let him know that there's going to be a campaign coming over from America. Often that catches everybody's ear. So once they do that, they know that we're going to be in the area. And when they see Americans in the area, they know what they're doing. And of course, we invite them over to the church for a gospel meeting. But before we do all of that, we also set up Bible studies with them, one-on-one Bible studies with them, group Bible studies with them. This helps them. There's a lot that goes into this before we do that. But these Bible studies and these preparation and these campaigns not only help the brothers locally in the island, well, guess what? It also helps our members, because there's a lot of preparation, a lot of studying that go on. And usually when you study, you don't easily forget that. You don't easily forget the information that you have learned through your studies. About a year and a half out from our campaign, we will start our preparation. What happens is we start our meetings, talk about the area that we're going into, talk about our schedule. Then we get our members together, and then we start preparing them. First and foremost, and a lot of this stuff happens simultaneously. We prepare them financially. You might say, well, how do you do that? Well, we encourage them to save and then go out and raise funds. Now, the church has to play a part in that as well, but the church does not play 100% part in that. But it does play a part in that, a small part. But it's encouraging to them, because we have to have a commitment. As you know, we may be able to help some people with a little bit of money, but we can't help you with time. And oftentimes, these campaigns are from 10 to 14 days. And if you're a working person like I am, that's vacation time. So people have to be aware of that, and it is, and they commit, and we have to know that, because our missionaries say, well, how many are you going to bring? We need this many. We need you to, how many can you bring? And once he gives that number, we need a commitment from our people. And once they commit, that's when the ball starts rolling, and it goes. And then we try to encourage them to not let it stop. And oftentimes we go a little above, because sometimes people can't go for whatever reason and they have to drop out. Not only the fundraising, but also there's a learning aspect that takes place with that. They become more familiar with the islanders' ideology, their culture, various religions and beliefs that they are involved in locally there, because you will come in contact with them. They will have a lot of questions. We have to address those things. So once we get them up, we give them material, let them study that material, then of course there's other things like practices on one-on-one Bible study, groups, and also delivering sermons for those who will be speaking in the gospel meeting that we normally have. So all these things take place, but also the missionary on the field, as I've said earlier, has already by this time sent out ads, made contacts. What happens with that? These names are sent back to us as a group. We distribute this information amongst the group, and then Bible correspondence courses is sent out to these local brethren. That way they become a little bit familiar with us, we become familiar with them, and in the process they're learning God's word as well through these Bible correspondence courses. We have a program called PIBS, P-I-B-S, Pacific Island Bible Study, and this is an entire course material that's Bible correspondence that we send out one course at a time. We do it only one course at a time because many times we don't get anything back, or it takes a long time to get something back. And that goes through seven lessons. And once they get through these seven lessons, then of course we send them a graduate certificate. And not only that, once we get their name and their address, and we started in this process, we send them a personal letter to let them know when we're going to be in their area and where we're going to be located, so that once we get there, they can come join us for more study, for more enhanced study, or a personal study, and that way they can get their questions answered. Many times, because of the types of religions that are in their area, they have, you know, specific questions that may not be covered in the Bible correspondence course material. So, and that's good. That's the whole thing, though. We want them to come see us personally. I'd rather do that than the Bible correspondence course, but we have to prepare the field before we get there. These things help those participating to grow stronger. And I'm not just talking about the local brethren on the field, but also our people. They grow strong in the faith of the Lord. But when we actually arrive in country and implement the things that we prepared, is really when the fire is ignited in our campaign group. They are excited about getting started, excited about starting their Bible study, one-on-one Bible studies with the people on the field, because they know that the ground in the Pacific Islands is very fertile. It's very fertile. And they've heard about all the baptisms through our missionaries, so they are very anxious to get involved in what's going on out there in the field. So once we get started, sometimes Robert has to hold people back, and because we have a pretty strict schedule that we want to try and follow. So, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. The campaigns encourage our members to get more involved. Once we have people that start in these campaigns, and they come back to the United States, that fire is still burning. And guess what that does for our local congregation? They grow spiritually. That makes them want to get more involved with the work that's going on at home. And they do. That zeal that they had going over is burning even hotter when they get back. And they are so on fire to tell the story that they have just experienced in the Pacific Islands. We have one brother, Tom Edging, who went to Fiji a few years ago, and he came back and took charge of our door knocking program. This program, you know, door knocking, yes, when you have VBS, you want to go out door knocking, invite people to participate. When you have special events, you want to go out door knocking to tell people about the church, tell people about the truth, give them the message. But then sometimes you may just let that go. Not this program, not this brother. This door knocking program that Brother Tom has taken over, it happens once a quarter, no special events, once a quarter, And it's not just to tell, yes, we do that, tell our story, tell the church's story, tell the gospel, but it is a follow-up program as well. Visits are made, follow-up visits are made, telephone calls are made, cards are sent to continue to invite people to church, because we want to stay in their mind. We want the Bible, the stories of the Bible, the gospel, the truth, to stay at the forefront of their mind, and hopefully we will get baptisms as a result of that. And he has done a great job with our door knocking program, even still to this day, several years later. One brother, now a missionary himself, and some of you may know him, before going on a campaign, was just a new Christian, just a brand new Christian. And through his attending the World Mission Forums, after he was converted, he was attending the World Mission Forum because he became a member there at Forest Park. He became encouraged and excited about what was happening in the mission field. And he decided to go on a campaign himself. He went on that campaign, and he was set so on fire for the Lord. He came back, he got up and preached and told his story about what happened to him in the foreign field, quit his job, went to preaching school. While he was there, met a nice young lady, got married. Brother Scott Shanahan, some of you may know Brother Scott, was determined to be a missionary, and he did. And of course, Rebecca, you know every missionary has to have a supporting wife. You don't just go out and knock doors as a single person, single male. You have to have a supporting wife. And that word supporting is very important, because that man, that missionary, would never make it on his own if he didn't have a supporting family. I tell you, it's very difficult. But Brother Scott Shanahan has been in the islands now, I believe, 2 or 3 years. 3 years. And he is working in Pohnpei, doing a very good job. He, too, was at our World Mission Forum this past October. And you can just see him growing. He is preaching now, doing an outstanding job. He is branching out into more islands, not just there in Pohnpei, but he is in Koshirai, I believe, he's also branching out, doing an outstanding job. But that's what happens when you get set on fire for the Lord. And when you're out there in the mission field, it just keeps burning. It just keeps burning. All of our members grow from hearing about participating in the missionaries' work, either directly or indirectly. They all understand it because we, the elders, keep it before them all the time. All the elders in our congregation are mission-minded. It is a blessing for us to stay in constant communication with the missionaries. We oversee them. We are directly involved with all the decisions made on the mission field. And through the way, and though we may not be physically on the field with our missionary families, we are very much involved with all their work for the Lord. That's everything that they do. You've met Brother Steve Weiss. I mentioned his name. Steve Weiss was also a missionary for about, 12 years. Steve came off the missionary, off the mission field, and came back to the church with us, and he is now one of our elders. Does an outstanding job. We all still make frequent trips over there, especially Steve. Steve still makes frequent trips over to the mission field, but all of us elders do, so that we can stay involved with it. We have what we call oversight trips. We go over just to be with the families, to continue to encourage them, and to learn more about them so that they can get to know us and we can get to know them. But we are very much involved with them. We're not physically with them. When not physically with them, they communicate with us through emails, phone calls, and they send us tapes and CDs, vocal, audio, MP3s. That is so we can continue to know and stay abreast of everything that is going on in the mission field, so that nothing is a surprise to us. Forest Park take mission work very, very serious, just like they would be right here in our congregation. We wouldn't want any false doctrine coming into our congregation. And I'm not implying that any of these men would do anything like that, but we want to stay abreast of everything that goes on out there. And it's not just for our benefit, the elders, but it's also for the missionaries' benefits as well. So that if anything goes wrong out there, we will know. If someone start accusing them of something that is not right, we will know what the real truth is, basically. Even though our missionaries are not physically with us at home, congregation, we are in sync. Robert liked to use the term, we are right here with them. We're in sync with their every move. We are. And we love not just them, but their entire families very much, very much. Remember, mission work is each congregation's obligation. Each congregation's obligation, not just one that has missionaries out on the foreign field. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our Lord told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. A good mission work is an opportunity.
Amen.
It's an opportunity to fulfill that obligation that I spoke about just a second ago. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul said, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and that door was opened to me by the Lord, Paul took advantage of every opportunity that he had. Every opportunity. Brother Dan opened with a keynote about Paul's missionary journeys. He was always out there in the mission field. There are many mission works that a congregation could be involved in, but congregations and elders should always look for good, sound, and productive mission works. Ensuring the mission work is organized appeals more to the congregation. In other words, making mission work a part of the congregation should be as important as worship, as the Bible study program, as the youth program, and other works in a congregation. This is all about furthering God's work, a word, broadening the borders of his kingdom, and giving these who have not had an opportunity to hear the gospel a chance to hear it. This can be accomplished through communication and prayer. It is indeed a great blessing to be a part of a congregation that shares in the work of reaching the lost, both in the foreign land with our missionaries and locally in our own community. It is a blessing to see the lives of those who participate in the work change, and those new Christians whose lives have been changed by the work and through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are blessings that will be seen in all the works that congregations put into it. This is the mission the Lord has placed upon us, and we must carry it through as best we can. It helps our congregations to stay on fire for the Lord. We grow spiritually as individuals and as congregations. And a very fitting verse comes to mind when I think of sharing together and reaching the lost. I think of Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. The beginning of verse 9 says, and he said, go and tell this people. I want to thank you this afternoon for giving me an opportunity to share with you some of the blessings that we receive as an overseeing congregation, because it is truly a blessing that we receive when we share in the work. Even though not all of us get to go to the mission field, we all do share in the work. One of the things, and I'm sure when you've gotten reports from missionaries, one of the things they say to you is, you may have not have been there, but you participated in the work that we just accomplished on the field. That is a fact. You did participate. Thank you.
I am very happy to give one of my elders all the time that he needs. I really don't have any choice, do I? It says obey those that have the rule over you, so you better do it. I mean, there's no bones about it. That's just the way it is. Greg is a very dear friend of mine and a wonderful co-worker. And we have been together on a trip to the Marshall Islands last year, and this coming year we will go on a trip to Nundi, Fiji together, and I look forward to that. I really look forward to it. It's a joy to be here. I'll save some of my comments maybe for Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Philippians. They're not going to do you any good or me any good with them closed. All right. Philippians chapter 4, and I'll take just a few, very few minutes to just say a few things about this. Mary and I have, and most of you at Palm Beach Lakes know this, the elders, the deacons, and the members, all of you know that everything that I might say or do, number one, I'm going to be Robert. And number two, I'm going to give all the honor and glory and praise to the Heavenly Father. I'm not going to play no games with it, because I know that without Him, I would not be anything, and I would not have the opportunity to serve Him. I'll try to get to this passage in just a moment if I have time. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning the giving and the receiving, but you only. There's a very special relationship in those words between the church at Philippi and the missionary going out on the field. No doubt Paul would go on to places like Thessalonica and to Berea and Athens, and then through this congregation at Philippi, as he would write the First Thessalonian letter in chapter 1, he would say, the gospel has been heralded to every place on the face of the earth. Think about that. But feel the relationship that is mentioned here. Now verse 17. Now that I see, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit, and I love this, that abounds to your account. And what a sweet smelling aroma or flower, Paul says it is, what you gave to me to carry the gospel to Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and even to every place in the world. What a sweet-smelling aroma or flower it was. And as I read all of these words in verse 15, 16, 17, and even 18, I feel a very special relationship between the one that was supporting the missionary and the missionary writing those words back to the church that is sending him. A very special, unique relationship. Oh, how I need hours and hours. But I will just say that, I will say this. We have always had that one heartbeat with Forest Park. And as I look at it, it's like this in just an overlay. As we have gone and we have carried the gospel into many countries, and it seems like it was just God giving us that opportunity. From Fiji to Samoa, to American Samoa, to Vanuatu, the Solomon Islands, and the Melanesian Islands, and then going as far as Kiribati and Tuvalu and Nauru, and going to Saipan, the Northern Mariana Islands, and Palau, and Chuuk, and Yap, and Ponape, and Kosciuszko. It seems like God, and don't make a mistake, many times when I travel in a Jeep or whatever the vehicle may be, and there's no one but me and the Lord that may be in that vehicle, I feel very emotional, and I say, God, why did you choose this very lowly one in all your kingdom from the hills of northwest Alabama, and you have thrust me into this field in the Pacific and Oceania? Why me? And I really mean that. And I know that every soul that would be taught the gospel, now listen carefully to my words, that every soul that would be taught the gospel and every church that would be planted for the Lord, and it is a correct term, plant, because without the seed being planting, you don't have a church being planted. And without every soul being ministered to, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 5 and the following verses, we're workers together with the Lord in His kingdom, in His vineyard. But I love the way verse 5 begins, because verse 5 says we are servants, or really the New King James says ministered. Really we are the bond slaves. Listen to this, are you listening? We are the bond slaves by which others believe. That's all that I am. I am simply a slave of Jesus Christ. And I am a slave of Jesus Christ by which others may believe. What an opportunity for me to be that kind of slave. And so every soul taught the gospel, every soul baptized, every church planted, whether it be in the cities or the towns or the villages, it does not matter. And every Christian that is edified, enlightened, strengthened, built up, and may be made able to teach others. Mary and I made that dedication to God many years ago, that personal commitment. And does it work? Does it work 100%? No, it doesn't. Don't believe that for a moment. But we do what I'm about to say. Every person we teach and baptize, we're going to stay with them, and we're going to try to bring them to the point that they can duplicate it again. It may be individually, it may be in a workshop, or it may be nowadays through Pacific Islands Bible College. Or it may be a combination of all those, individually, a workshop, or PIBC. But whether it be one soul that is taught the gospel, or many souls that are taught, whether they are baptized, the person baptized, or whether a church is planted, or whether a soul is edified, or whoever we have taught and trained, that's the first one, 5 minutes. All right. Or whether it is we planted the Lord's church in one country and then it spread to many congregations throughout that country and went on to other countries, we always look back and see those that are standing by the supply. It's 1 Samuel chapter 30 talks about. You know, there were some of those rascals, and they were really rascals, that went into battle with David. Just read 1 Samuel chapter 30. And they went in against the Amalekites, and they come back, and they said to David, "You give us our share." Don't give these up. They didn't go in the battle. They didn't go on the front line. They only stood by the supplies. They were rascals. I don't know why David even carried them. I'd eliminated them like Gideon did and God up front. But for some reason he did. You know what? David made a command that day that all would be blessed. Those who fight in the battle on the field, like the missionary many times, or go into battle or go with the banner of Christ, and those who stand by the supply. You know, we have some that will never go because of age. We have some that will never go because they're not physically able to go. But they do many important works right back in either one of our supporting congregations or at the congregation that oversees us or sponsors us at Forest Park. We've got ladies, we've got older people that stand by the supply. And we make that known every time that every soul saved, every church planted, all the good that is ever done, it is fruit that abounds to your account. And you know, you never hear us come to Palm Beach Lakes that Mary and I don't say that. We say it every time in one form or the other. And so as Paul would address this letter to the church at Philippi, he talks about a church that has stood by his side. Oh, they didn't go literally with him. But everything that he was able to accomplish, whether it was to plant, whether it was to water, whether it was to start a new congregation that would be in Thessalonica, Berea, or Athens, or some other place of the world, it was fruit that abounded to their account. No matter how effective the missionary is, he better realize those that stand by the supply line. Because he would not accomplish what he does accomplish. I could say a lot more, but I know that buzzer is going to buzz. I have said much more in the lectureship book. What a joy it is to be with you this time. Mary said to give you her love. She is standing by literally the supply line. Right now, she's standing by the supply line. And she said to give you her love and her best regards and her blessings. May God bless you. May God keep you. And I can't wait until tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.